Now commentator Lester Spence shares his thoughts on welfare reform.
10 years after Bill Clinton signed a bill that would end welfare as we know it, people have begun to assess its consequences. Many of us feared that harsh 5-year limits on welfare benefits would send a generation of children and single mothers into an unending spiral of poverty and hopelessness. It turns out that this has not been the case. While there are a substantial number of women who have been unable to find and maintain jobs, there are millions more who have been able to make the transition from welfare to employment. I was about to say from welfare to work, but as any parent knows, taking care of children is work. Anyone who suggests otherwise either does not have children, has children but hires a nanny to take care of them, or is aided in their thinking by controlled substances. But I digress. We should be relieved to find that our worst horror stories have not come true, even in an economy as bad for working class men and women as this one is. But in the drive to congratulate the government on a job well done, we are neglecting a number of issues. The first is that while many citizens on welfare have been able to find employment, that employment still does not pay enough to do anything more than keep people's head barely above water. According to Olivia Golden, Assistant Secretary for Children and Families in the Clinton administration, women formerly on welfare make around $8 an hour. This is a few dollars above the federal minimum wage, which hasn't increased a dime since 1997, but definitely not enough to really sustain a family. $8 an hour in most urban centers likely means that the children of these men and women will spend a significant amount of time on their own and unsupervised. Which leads to the second issue, childcare. When scholars and activists criticized the plan, many of them focused on the lack of funds to provide childcare. President Clinton's response was that the states would kick in and provide the resources that the federal government did not. And some states have responded, but many haven't. The end result is that many parents have to routinely go to work, leaving their children to fend for themselves. And Lord forbid if their child gets sick or sent home from school. Unlike you or I, these parents cannot just take a day off of work. Which brings me to the third issue, job-related benefits or the lack thereof. We know that poor and working-class citizens are more likely to have a variety of mental and physical health issues. But the types of jobs that people getting off of welfare are likely to move into are those without health benefits. In fact, they are the type of jobs that are most likely to actually cause some injuries. And this is perhaps what worries me most. Welfare reform does not move people out of welfare into solid working-class lives. It moves them out of welfare and into the world without health benefits, without child care, without savings, and without the political power needed to address any of these problems. Now, we can look the other way all we want to because they're on welfare and we're not. But with massive job cuts and layoffs and increasing adjustable rate mortgages, many of us are just one crisis away from poverty. In our drive to end welfare as we know it, we've reduced the safety net that civilized society is supposed to create. Whether we acknowledge it or not, reducing the safety net hurts all of us, not just because we bear the costs when low-wage workers have to go to the hospital, but because sooner or later, we're going to need that safety net.
Lester Spence is an assistant professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University.